You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Original.
Would you like to go on a treasure hunt without leaving your house? Would you like your name in history books? Would you like to win $50,000? Of course you do. And I know a guy who can help. Okay, this is usually where we'd play a sound clip from some interview we did. But unfortunately, the guy who can help win us $50,000 has been, well, dead for 376 years. His name was Marin Mersenne, and he was a friar. You know, robe, praying everywhere, a receding hairline that even God couldn't save. Mersenne used to teach at a little college in the city of Nevers, France, and he was sort of a big deal. The humble friar was a math genius. He famously wrote a book describing the physics of music. And he was pals with thinkers like René Descartes, Thomas Hobbes, and Galileo Galilei. And while Mersenne was nerding out over math in the 1600s, he started talking about something weird. A prime number. You know, prime numbers. Those numbers that can only be divided by itself and the number one without a remainder. Mersenne had found a prime number that was, well, special. One that was so special, so rare, that he bagged the naming rights for it. Mathematicians call them Mersenne primes. Today, finding a Mersenne prime in the wild is a lot like stumbling into Bigfoot. It's basically impossible. Only 51 Mersenne primes have ever been discovered. But there are more Mersennes out there, just waiting to be found. And thousands of people are on a mathematical treasure hunt looking for them right now. Whoever finds the next Mersenne will get their name in the history books and will come home with a chunk of prize money. But the big secret? The next winner could be you. And I'm going to tell you how. Welcome to Very Special Episodes, an iHeart Original podcast. I'm your host, Dana Schwartz, and this is Primetime, the hunt for math's most mysterious number. I will say that this episode did make me feel like I was in like 11th grade again, having to be sure I understood what a prime number was. And I'm just so impressed by the people in the world who devote so much of their time and energy to just the pursuit of knowledge for knowledge's sake. It's something very wholesome, and it made me inspired to learn more about numbers.
Well, Dana, as somebody who has a GIMPS account and does go on searching for prime numbers, Mersenne primes in particular, I got to say thank you, you know, because we do care about this.
You're a hero, Zarin.
You know what? I don't mean to steal any valor on this one, but thank you. I really do. I absolutely love prime numbers. I've written 2 papers and published them about prime numbers. I watch Burkhard Polster from Mythologer Channel on YouTube. I watch 3 Blue, 1 Brown on YouTube. I absolutely love this. And I cannot believe that we make this episode and this is how I hear about it. I was like, oh my God, Mersenne primes.
Well, I'm picturing one of our listeners being inspired, finding the next Mersenne prime.
Yes.
They'll get the prize money, but I think we'll share in the glory.
Completely.
We will absolutely have the glory. And that's really what this all is for. You probably learned about prime numbers in math class back in elementary school. Shout out to my 5th grade teacher, Mrs. Sabin. If you weren't paying attention during the cold open, a prime number is a digit that can be divided only by the number 1 and itself without a remainder. Take the number 3, for example. It's a prime number. So is 11 and 17 and 2,147,483,647. So, that last prime was discovered back in the 1770s by Leonhard Euler, one of the most prolific mathematicians in history. Euler is just one person in a long line of math geniuses who have gone hunting for really, really, really big prime numbers. And the reason I'm pointing out his discovery is because Euler's number, 2,147,483,647, isn't just a prime. It's one of 51 known Mersenne primes. Let me introduce you to a guy who can explain why.
I'm George Waldman. For the last 27 years, we've been searching for large prime numbers.
George Waldman is a retired computer programmer, and he is the king of the Mersenne prime number hunt. In fact, when we met George over a video call late last year, we could barely hear him over the sound of the fans cooling his computer. Turns out his computer was hunting for a Mersenne prime. As he tells it, he's been obsessed with prime numbers for a long, long time.
Yeah, it's just basically fulfilling a childhood dream. My dad got me interested in prime numbers back when I was 7 or 8 years old.
When George was a little kid, his dad got a letter with a postmark that captured his imagination.
The postmark had 2 to the 11,213 minus 1 is prime. And it just amazed me that someone was able to prove that this 3,000-digit number was a prime number.
The number on that postcard was a Mersenne prime, and it contained the formula that makes finding a Mersenne prime possible. 2 to the power of p minus 1. I'll let him explain.
That means you multiply 2 many, many, many times, and then subtract 1, and if you're lucky, you've got a big prime number.
Here's a simple example. 2 to the power of 3, 2 times 2 times 2 makes 8. Now subtract 1. That makes 7. 7 is a prime. And since we can find it with Marin Mersenne's special formula, we can call it a Mersenne prime. Now let's try it with a bigger number. Take 2 to the power of 31 and then subtract 1. You got it? Yeah, it's our old friend, 2,147,483,647. That's a Mersenne prime 2. Now here's the tricky part. That formula does not always give us a prime number. 2 to the power of 4 minus 1 makes 15, which is not prime. 2 to the power of 6 minus 1 makes 63. Not prime either. Turns out, the chances that this formula will find a prime are low. Frankly, you have a better chance finding a needle in a haystack or D.B. Cooper than you do finding a Mersenne. And a major reason for this is, and I cannot stress this enough, because Mersenne primes can get comically huge.
Currently, we're looking for Mersenne primes of around 30 million digits.
George didn't slip up there. Right now, he's looking for a number that is 30 million digits long. For perspective, that number is so big, it would take me several months just to read it out loud to you. But right now, thousands of people are looking for that number. And if someone finds it, they will win $3,000. But the $50,000 prize I've been talking about, that goes
to anyone who finds a 100 million digit prime number.
Now, I get what you're thinking. Dana, I would love to win $50,000, but finding the Sasquatch of prime numbers sounds a bit too mathy for me. But that is where you're wrong. Because here's the best part about the hunt for Mersenne primes. You don't need to be good at math. And that's because our friend George has made it easy for us.
I wrote some software that can find these prime numbers and put it on the internet for anybody to download. You need no mathematical backgrounds to run this software.
You can find the software George made online at a website called the Great Internet Mersenne Prime Search, better known by its acronym, GIMPS. Yes, GIMPS.
I founded GIMPS in 1996, and we've found 17 world record primes over the years.
Over 27 years, George's software has helped regular people like you and me find insanely large Mersenne primes over and over and over, which is a huge leap forward when you consider the history of Mersennes. For centuries, the only way to dig up a Mersenne was to sit down with a quill and ink and divide, by hand, potential numbers. Later, new and better algorithms with names like the Lucas-Lehmer test were developed to help speed the job along. Eventually, it got too difficult for our 3-pound brains to do the math. The last time somebody dug up a Mersenne prime mostly by hand was back in 1914. Another Mersenne wouldn't be found for another 38 years. When computers hit the scene. In the early 1950s, computers were finding Mersennes left and right. 5 Mersennes were found in 1952 alone. 2 were found on the same day. But eventually, even the supercomputers got stumped. By the late 90s, the best way to search for a Mersenne was to use a Cray T94. A supercomputer that ran so hot that, were it not for an internal coolant system, it would literally melt itself. And that is when George swooped in.
I thought if I made this software and put it up on the internet, maybe 100 people would pick it up and start using it.
George wanted to help regular people, people without access to supercomputers, hunt for Mersennes. He wrote software that could be used on a personal computer and posted it to the GIMPS website. It immediately surpassed all expectations.
And by the end of the first year, there were well over 1,000.
More than 200,000 people have tried the GIMPS software since. And you're invited. The software runs in the background of your computer. All you have to do is pick a potential number and wait. And wait, and wait some more.
If you're looking for a 30 million digit prime number, it will take your computer about a week to test that number. If you're going to go for the big money and look for one of those 100 million digit guys, it's going to take probably 1 to 2 months
Using the GIMP's software is like playing the world's longest game of roulette. You pick a number, you spin the wheel, and then you wait eternity to see if you've got a winner. And chances are, you won't.
I've gone through probably 30,000 numbers, I'd estimate. Every one a failure.
That's right. George, the founder of GIMPs, has tested more than 30,000 potential numbers, and he has never found a Mersenne prime. And even though the odds are against him, even though he's failed 30,000 times, he's still looking. And so are thousands of other people. And that's because the chance of hitting it big turns some people into fanatics.
The number takes on a life all its own. It's a life that you and your computer nourish with CPU cycles. Even though only a tiny fraction of the test could have possibly been performed, you check on it several times a day, just in case something goes wrong. You get to know it like a friend. The time invested on each exponent is what makes GIMP special. It teaches the user patience and perseverance, and devotion and loyalty soon follow.
That's a line taken from the GIMP's website. And frankly, the whole devotion and loyalty follow spiel sounds a little bit, well, culty. And maybe it is. The people who love GIMPs really, really love it.
The typical Mersenne prime hunter. This probably won't be flattering, but they're probably nerds. Or geeks. I proudly label myself a geek or a nerd, so I don't view that as a derogatory term.
These nerds and geeks can become addicted to this digital treasure hunt, and some go to extreme lengths to find a Mersenne. We wanted to get inside this world of Mersenne obsessives, so we went on a hunt ourselves and found this guy.
My name is Curtis Cooper, and I'm a retired professor of math and computer science at the University of Central Missouri.
Chris Cooper taught at Missouri for 39 years, where he lectured in calculus, number theory, and computer science. And when we talked to him, he seemed like a regular, humble guy.
My wife would say, maybe you need a life or something. You know?
But the truth is, Curtis is a GIMPs legend. He is the 1927 New York Yankees, the 90s Bulls, the Pele of Mersenne hunting. Because Curtis has found not one, not two, not three, but...
We found four Mersenne primes.
Four Mersenne primes. Which, if I haven't already stressed this enough, is insane. Curtis has found more Mersenne primes than anybody in living history. And judging from our interview, it couldn't happen to a better guy. Curtis's love for Mersennes just radiates from him.
I've always really enjoyed studying them because it seems something that's so pure and so natural. From my perspective, those are kind of jewels in number theory.
Curtis has been hunting these jewels, basically nonstop, for more than 25 years. And he's been throwing everything at the wall.
When I initially got started in GIMPs, I was using three or four of my PCs.
At the time, Curtis believed that four PCs was a little overboard.
I thought, wow, four is pretty good for trying to look for prime numbers.
But remember, it takes about a week to test a number. Four PCs will only test 208 numbers a year. This wasn't good enough, so Curtis would enlist more computers. He and a colleague began asking the university for help. Could we use the PCs in the computer lab? What about the library? Can I use the machines in this building? That building? By 2005, Curtis had a lot more than just four computers scavenging for Mersennes.
In our heyday, when we had a lot more labs on campus and stuff, probably between maybe 700 and 800 computers.
Yeah, Curtis had about 800 computers looking for Mersenne primes. And even with all that computer power, Curtis spent 8 years finding absolutely nothing. That is, until December 2005. One of his computers was testing a number with 9.1 million digits. The GIMP's software chewed on the number for about 2 or 3 weeks, but when it finished calculations, it notified Curtis that it was a Mersenne Prime.
The feeling was almost like surreal. Like, is this really happening? It was like a Christmas present in a way.
Curtis earned $3,000, which was given to the university. And then Curtis went back to work, enlisting his army of 800-some computers to keep searching for Mersennes. Just a few months later, in 2006, he struck gold again.
And then we found a second.
And then, 7 years later, in 2013...
we found the third.
And then, in 2015...
we found the fourth.
The last number contained 22 million digits. It was triple the size of his first Mersenne. And the thrill of finding it a fourth time was just as intense.
It was sort of the same exhilaration, almost like winning the lottery, a Powerball or something.
Today, Curtis no longer holds the record for finding the world's largest Mersenne Prime. Since his discovery, two hunters have upped him. The first was a guy named John Pace, a church deacon in Tennessee who had installed the GIMP's software on a church computer. Pace spent 14 years looking for a Mersenne before the church PC spit out a Mersenne Prime. That number was so big that when Pace printed it in 2-point font on 11 by 17 paper, it took up 69 and a half sheets of paper. The latest and largest Mersenne discovered was found in 2018 when a Florida man, you go Florida man, named Patrick LaRoche, found a prime so big that if I tried reading out all 24 million digits, this podcast episode would quite literally become the longest podcast episode ever recorded. So I'll just give you the shorthand. The world's largest known Mersenne prime is 2 to the power of 82,589,983 minus 1. The crazy thing about that discovery? It happened on LaRoche's fourth try. For comparison, George Waltman has tested 30,000 numbers and has found zilch. Curtis Cooper told us he finishes testing 40 numbers every day, which goes to show this is anybody's game. A complete newcomer can swoop in and find the next prime. And eventually, someone will find the 100 million digit Mersenne for $50,000. But while prize money is always nice, there's more to all this than money.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode. And I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big numbers have an undeniable allure. Back in 2007, Jeremy Harper of Alabama caught the world's attention when he set a record by counting from 1 to 1 million out loud. Thousands of people watched as he live-streamed the count over the internet 24/7. It took him 89 days. Meanwhile, YouTubers like Matt Parker of Numberphile have posted unboxing videos of them opening up printed versions of the latest Mersenne Prime. Big numbers are just exciting. Think back to the schoolyard playground. Who among us, in a quest to one-up our friends, hasn't gone from the double dog dare to the triple dog dare to the triple dog dare times infinity? Immense numbers were our way of winning the day. Frankly, the only people more obsessed with huge numbers than little kids are, well, mathematicians. A few decades ago, a mathematician named Ronald Graham came up with a number so big that, were it written down, the observable universe could not contain it. And then, in 2007, MIT hosted a big number duel to find an even larger number. The Mexican philosophy professor Agustin Rayo eventually found a number so big that, by definition, it cannot be expressed through language. All of this might have you wondering, what's the point? There's got to be some practical application to finding huge numbers like Mersenne primes, right?
I almost hate to say this. I don't know of any application that this great big number, I don't know how we could use that.
That, again, is Curtis Cooper. And as he explained, most Mersenne primes are so big that they are basically useless. But that's not to say they're completely useless. One Mersenne, 4,294,967,295, is the largest memory address for CPUs with a 32-bit address bus. That might sound like a bunch of computer gobbledygook. And I, to be
quite honest, have no idea what it means. But just know that this has practical consequences for a lot of computer systems. In fact, in 2004, that Marsenne was used to control the timers on all radio air traffic around Los Angeles. When the timers hit that number, it caused air traffic control to lose contact with more than 800 aircrafts. Or consider Euler's Mersenne, which we talked about at the top of the episode. That number is the highest score you can get on most video games. In Grand Theft Auto, it's the maximum amount of cash you can hold. These small Mersennes are everywhere we go. They're used by Apple to encrypt and decrypt messages. They're used to encrypt sales over the internet, too. But the really big Mersennes are too big for their own good.
The uses are rather few and far between.
That, again, is George Waltman.
Maybe when quantum computing comes along in 50 years, maybe we will need a 25 million digit key. But today, there's no need for it.
So big Mersennes are pretty much useless, but there is use to searching for Mersennes. Testing a Mersenne is not easy for your computer. It takes a lot of computing power. And as a result, it's a great stress test for a processor. And so some companies use GIMPs to test their computer chips before shipping them out to market.
One weird benefit of the search for Mersenne primes is it actually is so hard on a CPU that Intel was using it to find flaws in their chips. And over the last 25 years, two or three times we found flaws in their CPUs. Just 5 years ago, AMD found a flaw in their CPU based upon running this software that's so brutally hard on the floating point unit in the chip.
These sorts of stress tests can have a huge impact. In 1994, a math professor looking for prime numbers stumbled upon a bug in Intel Pentium chips that later cost the company $475 million. So the Mersenne hunt isn't completely useless. But usefulness, it's not the reason people hunt for them.
Chris Caldwell, who ran the largest prime number website, compared it to the Hope Diamond. It sits in a museum. It has no use. It's just there to sit there and look pretty and for you to admire. A Mersenne prime is kind of like that. It's the largest of its kind. It sits there and looks pretty, and you can marvel at it. And that's about all it's good for.
And a lot of people are content with that. Because people like Curtis and George, they aren't looking for Mersenne primes because they want to change the world. Their motivation is simpler.
Yeah, you could be in it for the prize money. You could be in it for the glory of finding a new Mersenne prime. Or you could be in it for advancing mathematical knowledge a little bit.
Chris Caldwell, a math professor at University of Tennessee Martin, has compared the hunt to competitive sports. It's the thrill of competition, he says.
Why do athletes try to run faster than anyone else, jump higher, throw a javelin further? Is it because they use the skills of javelin throwing in their jobs? Not likely.
I've kind of always equated it to people who climb mountains, you know. And their ultimate goal is to climb Mount Everest. And no practical value in it, personal accomplishment in it.
When we asked Curtis why he hunts for Mersennes, he made the same exact comparison. They were his Everest. You don't make the climb for money. You do it because you feel called to climb. Because the climb in itself is beautiful.
I think a lot of that is beautiful. Maybe I'm too much of a geek on the digits or the number, but the four that we found, I kind of tell my wife, I said, I'll never forget, you know, the exponents that are there and what we found. I think I'll go to my deathbed knowing the four that we found.
Sarah?
Zarin, I have to say, just finding out that you're a Mersenne Prime guy, mm-hmm. how did you get into it?
Okay, so I actually like their... It's like their twin sister, twin brother, which is called Perfect Numbers. Every Mersenne Prime has a perfect number and every perfect number has a Mersenne Prime. So I love perfect numbers. An example is 28 and a perfect number is the sum of its divisors. So you have 1, 2, 4, 7, and 14, right? And those, you add those up together, 28.
And that's I'm going to be totally honest. I just sort of glazed over. Yeah, my brain went somewhere else.
Anytime my fiance, I talked to her about math, and I can just watch her eyes like the curtain lowers. It's just amazing. But basically, the point is that the thing about math that I loved and was drawn to is it's like if art could be entirely in your imagination or in your mind, right? You can appreciate the contours, the lines, the symmetry, and you don't actually have to have a physical thing. And then you can talk to another person about that. They look at a couple symbols, and then all of a sudden that same symmetry and beauty appears in their mind. That's what I love about math. It's like music, but it's numbers.
That's so beautiful.
Zarin, is your computer running at all hours?
It's currently looking for two different numbers. Actually, right now it's confirming the work of others because I don't have a number I'm searching for. I'm actually calculating a new one to look for. And it is currently doing the work that GIMPS wants, which is helping others. I'm just letting my computer check somebody else's work and being like, come on, buddy, I hope you get it. It's a team effort.
Have you ever met anyone who's found one?
No, they're so rare. There's 51 of them. And most recent ones have been found by a couple of guys. And I've never had the joy of meeting like Curtis Cooper. But I see their names on the GIMP site all the time because they are checking so many numbers. When I saw his name, I was like, I know him, but I do not know him. By the way, who was your guys' favorite character, special episode character for this one?
You know, it's Mersenne. He gets the name shout.
Yeah.
He's the MVP.
But do you guys cast this one? Dana, did you cast? Jason?
Can you cast this one?
Totally.
I don't know. Watson from IBM and also Deep Blue from IBM. The Jeopardy supercomputer and the chess supercomputer. They are the stars of this episode.
I like that. I thought about Marin Mersenne. He could be played by Edward Norton if he made the movie, just to pull from Europe. Or, I mean, I thought he's got the monk's vibe. You can totally feel him out there, like in the Abbey by himself. Leonard Euler, I was thinking Giovanni Ribisi, because if you've seen a picture, the famous image of Euler, it looks just like Giovanni Ribisi, right? George Wolfman, this is a little bit out there, but Francis Ford Coppola, he's a kind heart chasing after greatness. He gets it. And then Curtis Cooper, because I got to give a shout out to my man, Curtis Cooper, Mark Ruffalo, the cozy, rumpled, yet ambitious nerd. And finally, the next person to find a Mersenne Prime, me. So there you go. That's all my casting.
Very Special Episodes is made by some very special people. This show is hosted by Dana Schwartz, Zarin Burnett, and me, Jason English. Today's episode was written by Lucas Riley. Our producer is Josh Fisher. Editing and sound design by Emily Marinoff. Mixing and mastering by Behead Frazier. Original music by Elise McCoy. Research and fact-checking by Austin Thompson and Lucas Riley. Show logo by Lucy Quintanilla. Special thanks to Carl Cadle for some excellent voice acting. I'm your executive producer, and we'll see you back here next Wednesday. Very Special Episodes is a production of iHeart Podcasts.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.